It's Saturday Night.
Five.
Saturday night.
Get ready for the Saturday night.
Louder.
Saturday night's alright.
On Saturday night.
Okay, we are live. Welcome to Dynasty Saturday Night 5 on Saturday night. Please make sure you subscribe, rate, and review if you're listening to the Going for Two live podcast feed. If you're watching us here on YouTube, please make sure that you subscribe to the channel, like the video, and maybe even leave us a comment. If you're on Twitter, we can't see your comments, so please hop on over to the Going for Two Live YouTube channel if you want to hop in on the chat tonight. So I'm Brian Ford, as usual, but again, no Josh tonight. Last week was two Italian Jersey boys, and this week it's two Metro NYC social studies teachers, or at least background therein. Welcome Seth Keller of FF Faceoff. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on. Really excited to be able to jump in, especially on a Saturday night. Yeah, I mean, that was kind of great. Great, you know, before the show, talking a little bit about being social studies teachers. So, it's great when you've realized that there's other people out there that are like, hey, we got the we're pretty close, pretty similar. Yeah, yeah, some similarities there. It's kind of cool. So,
yeah. Let's get to know our guest co-host tonight. Feel free to, you know, plug all your stuff and your Twitter handle and all that, and just tell us a little bit about, you know, what you like about Dynasty or how long you've been playing or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. So I'm with the FF Faceoff. You can find me on Twitter at FF, the at home dad. Been with Faceoff for a while now. One of my favorite things, I do a lot with that. It's what I do in my day job now. One of the coolest things I think I have going right now, and a few people have started using it as well on Twitter, which just makes my heart so full. If you go on Faceoff and check out their ADP app, I put a lot of work into making that happen. Another really cool, good guy, Ryan Miner, is running all the mocks. And so we compile real time ADP data for our rookie mocks. We're going to have auction values out there. We're going to have, we have some startup ADP that's already plugged into. My absolute favorite is that rookie ADP, because you can actually go in and you can change the timeline of it and you get what was this player's value worth at this point in time versus this other point in time. And to me, that's such a valuable tool. And actually what, I won't spoil the title of the show, but it's a lot of what we're going to be talking about today is kind of that, like, hey, when are we going to find that value and when are we going to be able to take advantage of it in terms of Dynasty? So that's one of my favorite ones. I've been playing fantasy football since 2003, and been playing Dynasty. My longest running Dynasty league, I took over an orphan, and that was in 04 or 05. I think it was 05.
Yeah.
So it's been a good series of years. That league is really competitive. It's only 10 teams. I've come so close and still haven't taken home the championship in that one yet. But I have plenty of other championships, but that one, I'm still so close.
This year, I should be back. I've been playing a little longer, I think, just because I'm a few years older than you, but as far as fantasy goes. But Dynasty, the bug didn't really get me until, I don't know, like maybe 4 or 5 years ago, you know, so, but I just, you know, got addicted real quick and here I am, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's so easy to get sucked into Dynasty though, because it just adds that second and third layers of nuance onto what you're doing, right? So redraft is, I love redraft. I'm still in redraft leagues. I'm not one of those, you know, I'm not one of those people that are like, oh, I only play Dynasty now. And so I've gotten to the point now where it's like, I got my redraft leagues. I got my Dynasty leagues. I even have a pseudo Devi league because I'm like, I don't know if I can take that step. I don't know if my family's ready for that level of commitment from me to invest into a Devi league. Yeah. But it's like a little pseudo one where we get one round of Devi picks each year. And so it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's like it just adds that little extra layer, and it's a delicious layer of toppings out there.
It sure is. Yeah. I've heard I don't really do too much redraft anymore. I've heard the analogy of redraft is like a puzzle box and dynasty is like the stock market. And it's like, just what, you know, what's going to, I will say this, you know, I've done like Scott Fish a couple of years, I've done a couple other charity redrafts and that sort of thing. I feel the pressure in redraft, you know, like, cause if you mess up, there is no next year, you know? And so I definitely, you know, give a lot of props to people who do redraft well, because I feel out of my element now when I go try it. So, yeah.
Which is, and again, that's where I'm all about the nuance, right? I love the strategy aspects of all of them. That's where like you throw the best ball in too. Mm. And it's like, I have a, probably a best ball addiction, but you know, like it's one of those that actually, not an addiction, because I'm nowhere near as, I know there's other people out there that are way beyond what I'm doing in it, but it's like one of those things where it's like certain redraft leagues, you're like, well, all right, this one's done. Week three, when it's time of death. It's over with. Usually don't give up quite that early, but there's times where like you're like, man, I thought this guy was gonna do this, I thought this guy was gonna do this, and boom. ACL happens, or a training camp, this goes wrong. And where in Dynasty, you can start playing off of that and like, oh, yeah, that Breece Hall, you're not going to be able to use him for the rest of this season. I might need him for next year. How can we start making a deal and try to take advantage? So I like that little, again, added nuance to it.
I think the energy that I maybe in the past put into redraft or would otherwise be putting in the best ball, I've gotten really into DFS again the last year or so. I like quit for a while, then I'm back in it, and you know, I'm sitting there, you know, I'm taking my notes and making my spreadsheets, and it's like, but you know, that's I like it because you don't have to deal with other humans and their shitty trade offers. Okay, so just a reminder for those of you who are new, or if you forget, Dynasty Saturday Night Five, we do lists of five as a way to talk about Dynasty, just have fun on a Saturday night. Tonight's episode is about pre-NFL draft Dynasty sells, right? And so before we get started with that, just a couple folks in the chat. Two Kyles checking in. Kyle Keach on Facebook, how you doing? And going for two's own Kyle Senra checking in as well. Happy Saturday night, you too, Kyle. So everybody, Seth, is a buy or a sell in the right conditions.
Absolutely. So
when you're, for the purposes of this exercise, like how do you go about, say, identifying a sell, you know?
So for me, and at least what I did for today too, is I didn't want to go the sell route of just ageism, which I feel like you get, you know, you scroll through Twitter enough and you kind of get that where it's like, so you want me to sell every 30-year-old running back? Yeah, like I get the rationale behind it, but there's also a point where like, prime example, to me, Austin Eckler's a sell. Maybe not nine times out of 10, but most of the time, I'm going to be looking to try and sell Austin Eckler. However, in one of my dynasty leagues, I just got Austin Eckler for the 108. And so it's like, if the price is right, each guy kind of becomes that. I think, you know, one of the things, especially with Dynasty more than like redraft or any, like how we were talking about earlier, you need to know who you are and be really honest about where you are in your team right now. And then also being honest about where your opponents are and how your opponents are as Dynasty players. And I'm actually going to use that in one of the cells that I have is like, if you have one of these guys in your league, that's who you want to make this sell to. But being able to say, like, you know, who am I really playing within this league? Because not everybody's going to be the same. And not every person that we go through, we have 10 people that we're going to talk about today. Not everybody's going to be a sell for the same reason. Not everybody's going to be a sell for the same league. And there's even one where Go ahead, throw that comment. Yeah, throw that one up. Yeah. I think Eklund for the 108 is a great value. Also, the team isn't fully win now, but it's my team should be able to take that next step forward. Mm-hmm. I got a whole bunch of picks. I'm going to have Bijan and Eckler as my starting running backs. That's why he was a buy for me.
Yeah, for
both
sure.
Situations though, he's going to be a sell because he's an older back, potential for a holdout. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm going to say knock on wood right now, especially because I did just pick him up in the one league. But, there's a little bit of wiggle room there. And I think for me, that's trying to find those edges is always what you're doing in Dynasty.
Mm-hmm, for sure. I think those are all great points. And I was trying to think of how I might answer this question. And I just was maybe just a couple bullet points just to sprinkle on top is – am I above or below market on this player? You know, can I tier down or up in a way that I think is value? But also, like, is there a market for the player to begin with? Because, like, I almost put Algier on the list. And I think at this point, it's like, is there much of a market for Algier? Because part of the reasoning that I want to move Algier is because I expect him to get some company in the backfield. Well, kind of everybody expects that at that point. So what are you even going to get for him? Yep. So it's also like the sell window has to have a market for the player, right? So exactly. I think those are just some bullet points that I would sprinkle on top.
Yeah, and that was definitely something as I was trying to think through some of these guys also is like, you know, I didn't want to put like, again, like a common example is like Derrick Henry, right? Like what's the market for Derrick Henry going to be? You're not going to get what he's going to get you in points right now. So you're better off almost essentially riding him to retirement if you're in a win now team, because like you're not going to be able to sell him for what he's actually like the points he's actually scoring for your team.
For sure. You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So before we get going to our lists, let's pay the bills. The show is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy, the industry leader with best ball leagues, huge tournaments, private leagues, pick'ems, not just football, every other major sport. The best ball D-gens have already drafted 176 underdog leagues this year, including big board, little board, and all that jazz. But guess what? If you're new to Underdog Fantasy, you can create an account and get up to $100 matched of your first deposit if you use the promo code GF2. If you're watching, we're a little fancy and we have our QR code up now that you can scan that will take you directly to registering for an account for Underdog Fantasy. So go to underdog.com, go to the app, whatever you need to do, make sure you use the promo code GF2, deposit some money, start playing, and maybe even start winning. One of these days, I'm going to do a best ball. One of these days.
It's worth it. It's a good time.
Yeah, it's I know for a couple last couple of years I like when I was like I really can't get in another startup like but I have that itch like you know I'll do a couple basketballs you know
so yeah
I just haven't gotten around to it this year. Okay, so we each have a list of five. I was telling Seth before the show I might just dig deep on his five, let the guest shine, and then maybe sprinkle in some thoughts here or there, but we'll see how things go. So you get to start and pick your first sell and let's go from there.
All right. So I'm going to go with a little bit more of a stereotypical sell. I feel like, this is kind of like a lob. I feel like most people are going to be aligned with this, but right now I think Odell Beckham is a sell. He's been hurt. He hasn't been himself for a significant time before the injury happened. The one report that came out said he had no ACL. I'm not a doctor. My wife's a doctor of physical therapy. So I usually go to her for all my injury, all my injury news. Yeah. Like the one report, he had no ACL. Like that doesn't even make sense to me. How you have no ACL. But I think he's one of those guys that his name value alone carries enough weight that you can try to market him. You can also try and market him as he's now on the Ravens. He's like, who's his other competition? Bateman. Hopefully they don't look up, you know, Mark Andrews is the actual number one target option in that team. But there's just enough uncertainty there that if you can sell OBJ now, I think you're going to be so much better off. And like I said, there may still be some of a market left in your league. Somebody on a win now team that, needs a third, fourth wide receiver. By all means, that's where you want to try and get them to.
Yeah. I bought, like, I just took a flyer, you know, in case he would sign on a team, yeah, and bought him for like a random third a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. And so I have the one share, and he hasn't gotten a chance to disappoint anybody yet on the field. Yeah. So there might still be a window. What are we talking about as far as like what you would take for him? You know, we have Jamie here, wouldn't even pay a third, but he sold him for 206. Yeah. According to KTC, late 25 second, DTC, early 23 third, and Fantasy Calc, the 209. And he's going right around the 303, 23-303 in Bulletproof's ADP. So,
yeah, it's super, super team dependent. Mm-hmm. I don't even think I could say an early third like that, the 303. I don't think I could do it. Like a mid third, late third, something like that. Most thirds are dart throws anyways, but like I just feel like he has not been himself for a number of years. Like he's still living off of the one catch. It was a great catch. Still, you know, didn't help him win at all, but there's still that love for him, and he just hasn't been able to do that. I don't have my I made the mistake and closed my tabs, but I think it was 2018 was his last like good year, and like that's
about right. Yeah,
that's saying something. Yeah, you know, and he's 30. So
went into a couple trade finders and put a few in the sheet there. What do you think of OBJ for Alec Pierce in a 23-4th? To me, like Pierce is somewhat of an upgrade to begin with. If I get a fourth on top, like I'll do it.
Yeah, no, I would do that in a heartbeat. You know, there's still a lot of uncertainty with the Colts team, but I mean, I would make that move. You're getting way younger, and you know, I could see Pierce taking that next step this year, Pittman being the alpha, Pierce being the second behind him. It kind of comes down to who their quarterback is going to be and what that looks like for the team. But I'm selling OBJ for that every time.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go with my first. It's somewhat similar. It's kind of an age sell, and that's George Kittle. I have him as my tight end 7, and I'm below market. Every other source that I pulled has him as tight end 5. And I didn't really pull any trades because a lot of the trade finders don't indicate whether it's tight end premium. And I basically only play tight end premium. So I think he becomes a little more sellable in that regard. But, you know, I think for me, it's the idea of age, play style. That we've already seen lead to missing games. They like him to block, which sometimes sacrifices his routes and his route percentage. He's surrounded by other weapons, you know, CMC, Debo, Ayuk, that sort of thing. So, like, it's one of those things where, yeah, the pie is big, but, you know, and the offense is good, but how big is his slice of that pie? I don't have too much faith in Darnold Purdy. As far as, you know, the quarterback combo, mm-hmm, there, although they are kind of a plug and play, you know, put them into the West Coast offense and just, you know, have them, you know, do the quick passes and that sort of thing. I just think if I could get good value, like say tier down to another tight end and with a little bit of sprinkle on top, I'd do it. Like, for example, for me, I have Freiermuth really just from age, really. one spot above him at tight end 6. I have Goddard at tight end 5. If someone's willing to give me a plus on those guys for Kittle, I do it. He's going right around the 108 in bulletproof ADP. For KTC, he's right in between a 23 late first and a 24 late first. DTC, the 106. And for fantasy calc, between the 107 and the 108. If I'm getting the 106, 7, 8 for Kittle, even in a tight end premium, that's pretty good. I might ask for a little bit more on top, but I think that's a good flip, especially if, or like I said, tier down to, I don't know, like even like an Ajoku, an Engram, or a Chig, right? And get some plus on top of that. And if I like the way it weighs out, you know, I might do it. What do you think?
Yeah, and if you're getting back, let's say you're tiering down and getting back a second this year, you could use that second to go after a Michael Meyer, a Dalton Kincaid, right, yeah. Darnell Washington. There's a fourth
Musgrave,
one.
Musgrave, Laporta.
Musgrave. Yeah, Laporta even. I mean, I feel like Laporta's been slipping.
Yeah, for sure.
Even more, well, it depends on who you're talking to. But, like, there's a good chunk of these guys that you could wait and, you know, you could attack them in this draft and make out pretty well. So I like the selling of Kittle. My question with him is, because of age, I wonder what that market's going to be to try and move him. Cause I feel like whoever you try and move him to, the immediate response back is going to be like, but he's so old though. You know, like there's going to be that like little bit of, come on. Yes. He's slightly older, but he's George Kittle. Yeah. He's a top 3, 4, 5 type of tight end whenever he's healthy and on the field. Yeah. So, you know, let's make this deal. But I definitely could see, I like the sell of George Kittle.
Cool. And who's your next up?
I'm going to go with somebody that's probably going to piss off a lot of people listening, but it's a more contrarian sell. And part of it is really looking for who's in your league. Okay. I am selling Garrett Wilson under certain circumstances. Now, I want to make that clear. I'm not saying just go out and, you know, willy-nilly sell him away. But Garrett Wilson right now is just flying up everyone's boards, right? Like, I've seen places, and you threw some of them up here as well, but he's in the top 5, top 10 of wide receivers. And so his value right now is so high. And if you have especially somebody in your league, and if you have him in your league, you know him, it's the one that you talk to about a trade and they just send you a screenshot of keep trade cut. Well, this is what this value is right now. That's the guy that you want to try and target with this, because if you look at any of the, and what's great about keep trade cut is that they keep that like almost stock market look of what you have there. Every wide receiver does this like little bump and then down, and then it's what's going to happen. And right now Wilson is super high, right? You can sell him for pretty much whatever you want, right? And so you can make that move, really strengthen your team. And then what I love about this is, especially if it's that person that's just like, I'm really into whatever their trade thing is, right? I'm going to keep going with keep trade cut because that's the one that gives me the nice little graph. And like next year, unless he finishes top 5, his little curve is going to drop down again. And chances are it's going to drop down a little bit, and then his value is going to decrease. And then that's where you can kind of like, maybe I go back to try and get him back on my team for year 3 or something like that. But I think it's one of those things where Garrett Wilson, he's just valued so high right now that if you can completely take advantage of that value, I think it helps your team for next year. Like, you want to do that as a, like, I'm going to move right now type of deal. Yeah. But I know that's probably not, there's a lot of people that are going to be like, oh my God, you're not going to, why would you sell Garrett Wilson? But I think it's a value play, and it is one of the more contrarian ones. And I think you're going to end up with probably the most back out of anybody that I think we'll probably talk about today. Is you're going to get whatever, you're going to get the keys to the castle. Mm-hmm. So you can make it worth it for that one guy.
Devil's advocate, just for the sake of, I already have him ranked aggressively. I have him as my wide receiver 4. All my rankings, I put a little asterisk there because I haven't put the rookies in yet. I don't expect JSN to be above him, but like, anyway, so I have him as my wide receiver 4, but I know that, or I thought, not a whole lot of other people did. I went out into the streets to try to maybe buy a few shares, see what the price is, because the thinking that I was using was this time next year, he's going to be a top 3 dynasty wide receiver. I believe so much in the player, and I think he's going to perform so well with Rodgers that I'm going to get him now and then be able to flip him for like 2 first plus next year. Well, I went out into the streets, and it turns out, as you're saying, people valuing him similarly to the way I do, and he's hard to acquire, might be a sell. So the only devil's advocate I would ask you is, what about that thought that like he's gonna be like a top two, three wide receiver in dynasty next year, up there with like Chase and JJeff, like right below them, like, so maybe he's a buy. What would you say to that?
I think that goes to what we started off the show with, is everybody is a buy or a sell depending on what you have going on. So if you're saying like, hey, I want to try and get him because I see him being top 3 right now, yeah, like, go out and get him. But you're going to go out and get him knowing that it's going to cost you. Like, I in one league, I sold Garrett Wilson for three firsts.
I'd take that. Even though I value him highly, I would take that for sure.
Yeah. Like, and that, you know, it's a league where I'm kind of one of the worst spots, where it's like, my team is kind of in that middle phase of the league. I need to do something to get over the hump. I'm going to try and leverage all those picks to try and get my team over that hump. So that's where, you know, he could be a buy. He could be a sell, depending on what exactly is going on in your league and with your team. So if you were saying like, hey, I can get him now and pair him with, like, maybe I already have Chase, or maybe I already have Jefferson, I'm going to pair these guys up and I'm going to just, you know, have a solid wide receiver core for the next 5 years. Cool. That's a good move. Like, I'm not going to say just because I'm thinking he's a sell here, that wouldn't be a good move for that particular team. So I like the devil's advocate play there. And the one thing that I will say, living in New York for my whole life, being best friends with a Jets fan for the past like 13, 14 years, I am not confident that the Jets won't Jets up the Aaron Rodgers deal.
Well, apparently they made an aggressive play for OBJ. So even if they do get Rodgers, it's not out of the question that there's going to be more target competition there. Sorry to interrupt you. I just thought of
that. No, but that's what I mean, though. Like, I think Garrett Wilson is a phenomenal player. But again, look at the keep trade cut chart, right? His explosion happened when Mike White came in late November. Like, that's when his value took off, right? And so what's going to happen if the Jets end up with not Aaron Rodgers, or if Aaron Rodgers goes there and Aaron Rodgers is not MVP caliber Aaron Rodgers, because let's face it, the Jets, they make some Jetsy decisions, and they're not always, you know, the team that is, you know, moving the envelope, right? Like, I don't know. I feel like there's there's enough room for things to go wrong with the Jets, especially next year, that Garrett Wilson, I almost feel like he overcame a lot of that in his rookie season. So could he do it again? Absolutely. But man, there's so many different ways. And like I said, just living in New York, best friends with a Jets fan, lifelong Jets fan, like you're almost not surprised when they find ways to mess things up, because it's like, wow, they really outdid themselves with this one. Yeah, so yeah,
for sure. One of my favorite videos this time of year is the montage of Jets draft faux pas. But friend of the show and good friend of FF Faceoff, Julia, NBA Rig, checking in, saying hi. Nice. Thursday, I don't know, maybe you're hydrating a little too much on that middle emoji with the wine, because it is Saturday. You know, she's also saying hi to Seth. Bumblebee Hives, all right. Okay, like George Foreman got hit by Ali's boxing glove. All right, I like it. All right. So my next one is going to be, let's see here. I'm going to use this time to talk a little bit about just running backs in general this time of year. So, you know, I kind of have been talking about this wild ride of 2023 with the offseason with running backs, with a deep free agent class, with a deep rookie class, nobody's safe, you know, all this thing, right? And we're starting to kind of come out on the other side of free agency. We're moving towards the draft. I have two running backs that I'd like to put on the list tonight. The first one I'm going to talk about is Ramondre Stevenson. So there's a lot of running backs I could put on this list, but it's tricky, right? Because what's the market for them? Because sharper people out there know that the draft is coming and these guys could get company. At the same time, there's some sharper people who could say, well, you know, maybe I'm gonna zig when people zag and get those points on the roster, or know that there might be a value bump in September when they're actually on the field scoring points, because now, you know, it's not a good time to sell vets and sell running backs. So maybe the price is actually good now and it's a chance worth taking, because, you know, when they start scoring points. So either way, so Ramondre Stevenson is one of my, I like him. I've been a Ramondre guy, like even pre-NFL draft. I was touting Ramondre, sort of one of my mini victory laps, the few that I do get. I have him ranked around running back 11. He's going, I'm a running back 10, but that's without the rookies yet. He's going around a 23 late first KTC, 23-108. 107 for fantasy calc. I sold him for, I'm that April 3rd trade in the show sheet for the 409 and a 24 first, and some other trades in the trade finder. You know, let's see, straight up for Hollywood, Ramondre and Hardman for Stephon Diggs, right? So there seems to be a market for him. I am not somebody who emphasizes the whole New England running backs don't trust Belichick thing. Like, you know, I think, you know, just they found a guy, they like him, you know, he's catches passes, that sort of thing. But let's be real, right? He's already 25. I think he might even be close to 26. He's got Pierre Strong there. He's got James Robinson there. It's not out of the question they draft a James White type to catch passes. The offensive coordinator is going to be different. It might be less run heavy. It seems like now's the time to sell Ramondre while his name value is still good, while people still think he's a top 10, 12 dynasty running back, because it's almost like it can only go down from here. Like, I think it's at the peak maybe, and might be a good time relative to, you know, the idea that selling running backs in April isn't always the best idea, but like, relative to that, I think it might be time to move on from Ramondre. So what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's another one of those. One, I don't want to move Ramondre if my running back room's already kind of light. Or I'm almost signaling in April that like this year's going to be a wash and I'm going to start kind of gathering up to really make a play in the 2024 draft or something like that. But I will say with Ramondre, like, New England is going to draft a running back. Like, they do that all the time. They drafted
death taxes and
they drafted two last year with Pierre Strong and Kevin Harris. And so, you know, they, like, Harris was a sixth round pick, where I just had it up. Where do you go? That's Bailey Zappe. Pierre Strong went pick 127 in the fourth round. So, like, you know, they spent four, not huge draft capital. I mean, they had, I think it was 10 picks last year. Like, but they're going to probably draft another running back. And as soon as that happens, as soon as that little room of ambiguity gets in there, that's when that value is going to drop down a little bit. And I feel
In fact, when they did, sorry to interrupt you, last year when Pierre Strong and Kevin Harris got drafted, I actually got a couple cheap Ramondres.
Yeah.
You know, and because there was this, like, I'm like, Kevin Harris, Pierre Strong, come on.
And it will happen. I was cheating a little bit and looking at your notes on the show sheet. There's that whole string of running backs that you have listed there with Algier and Dobbins and the guy that I'm going to talk about next with Javonte. Like, they're all that. There are a lot of them that they're probably going to draft a running back, and then the question is how heavy does that hype train get for that rookie? Because right now it's all rookie fever. It's going to be rookie fever all the way up until cuts happen, during preseason. Because, I mean, Christ, who was it? Snoop Connor last year was another one that, like,
I was a believer. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's a bruiser, right? Like, they need him to complement Etienne, you know, Thunder Lightning. Here I am with fucking Snoop Connor shares, and you know,
that hype train got rolling. And if you were unfortunate enough to stay on the tracks, bam, that's when it was, right? And so that's where you could definitely get a value with selling Ramondre now, because his value is going to be high and it's going to go down after the draft. Again, assuming, and I think it's a pretty fair assumption, that New England is going to draft at least a running back.
I would also say too that, like, it's one of these, like, I put, like, Damien Pierce and Rashad White on that list too. I think they're going to get company. I think, like, Algier, the market is smaller because people know they're getting company.
Yep.
But even if, like, I would, like, when Fournette got cut and people were like, White to the moon, go get White, right? I was like, well, then sell White, you know?
Yeah.
Because the thing is, like, even if I do like him, I can get running backs in August and September, right? You know what I mean? Like, if I am a competing team, I can figure out getting running backs in August and September. Let me get fluid and get picks now, right? And this is one way to do it, is to take a guy who's still got name value. Speaking of name value, your next guy, to me is a good tear down candidate. Other folks are like, well, he's being forgotten because he's been gone so long with the injury. So let's talk about Javonte.
Yeah, so I think Javonte Williams right now is very similar to Ramondre here in thought process. I would assume that the Broncos are going to draft a running back here because they have – and I left this tab open. Smart this time. Their running back room, Javonte Williams – new addition, Samaje Perine, Tony Jones, and Demaree Crockett. Wow, I messed up that name.
Did Mike Boone resign?
I don't. I'm looking at ESPN's depth chart right now, don't see him on there. So unless he, he's not even listed as like a return man. So
maybe he got somewhere else. Yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, right there, that to me that. That means we're most likely going to see a running back getting drafted there.
Yeah.
Also throwing in there the story that came out from the combine about Javonte's injury being worse than what they led on to last year, and the fact that he may be in worse shape than people were originally thinking. He might not be ready for, like, the start of the season. That right there is a little bit of a red flag that they were keeping the injury that much under wraps.
Yeah.
But again, I'm thinking they're going to bring in at least another running back, at least one other running back into this group. Mm-hmm. If I can make a little bit of that margin of profit here by getting out of Javonte Williams right now, I'm going to do it. After the draft, depending on my team, he might be somebody that, you know, if I'm on a team that I'm looking at and I'm like, I know I'm not going to compete this year. Like, I'm going to be outside of that main bracket of competitors. Let me go and get Javonte early while he's still cheap. And I'm already thinking I'm going to play him either at the end of the season or I'm going to play him for next year. Yeah. That might be one of these moves where it's like, he's a sell right now, but I mean, I probably wouldn't do it on the same team, but it all depends on what the price I get back. Right. He's a sell right now before the draft because his value is going to take that little dip. But then over the summertime, you might be able to scoop him up on another team and be able to make a real nice play for him.
Right. Yeah. I had the guest co-host last week was our Going for Two sports doc, Dr. Jim, and we were talking about the multiple ligaments and how complicated that is, and and that, you know, there's a good chance that he's gonna miss some time. And by the way, like, Samaje Perine is no scrub. Like, yeah. I like Perine. He's kind of a buy for me in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, in a lot of spots, Javonte is a good sell. So he's going roughly, it's funny, a lot of the guys that we're talking about tonight are going like around like the 106, 107, 108, you know, as far as like their value, which is really interesting, you know, because it's like hitting that point of like, okay, it's not those five elite players. So let's pivot. Right. What do you think of Javonte straight up for the 108 or Javonte straight up for DJ Moore? Those are two trades that I pulled from the trade finders. Yeah.
DJ Moore, he's one of these players where I can't pinpoint where I want him yet. Like, he's just really difficult for me to get that sense of like where he's at. So I would do that if I need like that third wide receiver, right? Mm-hmm. Or if I'm looking at my flex wide receiver or something like that. Like, I feel like I would definitely do it for the pick. DJ Moore, I feel like I'd probably do it a pretty solid number of times. But I don't know. DJ Moore is just one of those guys. It's just like, one day I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm going to move him up here. Then like the next day it's like, no, I'm going to move him down here again. I'm going to move him up. It's, I don't know. He's one of those, you know, there's always those handful of guys that are just difficult to figure out where they're at. Mm-hmm. And for me, DJ Moore is one of those guys.
Well, might as well talk about him then. DJ Moore is my next sell. I'm below market on him. I have him ranked at wide receiver 27, even without the rookies involved yet. And where he's at in other places is 20, 23, 18, 17, 21, 19, and 20. So I'm definitely below market on him. I think there are numbers to support that he's a good match with Justin Fields, in the sense that Justin Fields is, you know, for as much as you can knock where he's at in his development as a passer, he's good at the intermediate range, right? Yeah. And by the way, DJ Moore is very good at the intermediate range. So there's numbers to suggest that they're a good match. But you have to count on some pretty good increase in Chicago's passing volume to really make this the bump that people think it is. And so we know what he is. He's a constant wide receiver too. He's already, I mean, like, again, they're wide receivers, right? But like, when you're thinking about a guy who's 26, you know, and I forget when he's going to turn 27, right? And I might be able to tear down to a 23 or 24 year old, or, you know, whatever the case may be. I just think off of this trade, he's gotten way too much helium. Shortly after the trade, I capitalized on it on what I think was a win. I sent him in a third for Christian Watson. I happen to be pretty high on Christian Watson, right? But he's, again, also going around the 106, 107, 108. We have a couple trades from the trade finder. Kirk in 206, Kirk and Purdy. DJ Moore straight up for Debo. DJ Moore for Pickens, a 25 first and a 25 second. Like, if you're able to get that for DJ Moore, like, yeah. I just think I think riding this idea that, like, best quarterback he's ever been with, best receiver Fields has ever had, ride that. Profit off that, you know? Even if you like DJ Moore, profit off that. So that's pretty much why I'm under market, and I think there's too much helium, so I'm ready to sell.
And so happy belated birthday to DJ Moore, because his birthday was yesterday.
Oh.
So he just turned 26, I believe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. There you go.
So. There you go. Just turned 26, which is great for Dynasty. But I think the point that you made with taking advantage of this is the best quarterback he's had. Yes. Will the Bears offense change? For the Bears' sake and Bears fans everywhere's sake, I hope it does. But one of the things that I do is percent offense, right? So I don't do snap percentages, because those can be really misleading. What I do is percent offense. How much was the player actually involved in plays while he was on the field? And so quarterbacks are usually one of the highest, right? Justin Fields had, and I forgot when it started to change, but for the first, I believe it was 6 weeks, he was the worst quarterback. Sorry about that. I don't know. I had ESPN in the background there, and they're trying to sell me something. I don't know if you heard that or not, but that right there is like, Justin Fields was one of the worst quarterbacks. He was only involved in something like, it was like 48% of the plays. Mm-hmm. Whereas like most other quarterbacks are like 60, 70%, because it's counting every time they're throwing the ball. It's only those rushing plays that they're not involved in, right? So most of the other quarterbacks are 60% or better, right? Justin Fields was just abysmal, just repeatedly on a weekly basis in terms of that percent offense. And then you mix in there, like, he has some throws that you look back on and you're like, who's that to? Where are you trying to get that ball to? And, you know, Fields is explosive. Fields is fun to watch at times. There's other times where you watch him and you're like, man, that's just not smart football right there. And I think that's where, you know, if you have somebody in your league that's thinking exactly like you were saying, Brian, about best quarterback, best receiver, let's put them together. Like, just saying that he's the best quarterback because he played with Sam Darnold. Like, there was a comment earlier on that, like, OBJ was ruined by Baker Mayfield. Well, yeah, like, but that's what not very good quarterbacks do. And, like, to say, like, Fields is the best quarterback that he's with, that may not be that big of a step up. Right. And I don't think we have enough from Fields to be able to say, like, yeah, Fields is going to be able to, you know, give DJ Moore 100 plus receptions and another 1,000-yard season. Yeah. I can't sit here and confidently say that with Fields in that Bears offense.
I mean, Fields threw for about 2,200 yards or something last year. Right. So, I mean, what, even if you give that, like, I don't know, a 10% increase, a, you know, 15% increase, like, what are, and then you spread that 10 or 15% out among the various pass catchers, like, is it really, you know, I don't know. So you're banking on quite the bump to bank on DJ Moore, you know, getting any better than he's already been. So who's your next? So
I'm going to cheat a little bit, because that's basically my MO is whenever we do these type of things, I'm always like, all right, I'm going to bend the rules slightly. So for me, this is purely a timing thing. It's the 23 picks, right? And so right now, up until when you actually draft, your picks are just going to be the most valuable they are, right? And I forgot who did it, and I apologize, but there's a really great graphic where it shows like the cycle of the season. Mm-hmm. And the value of picks and versus the value of players. And it's just a really great graphic. Right now, these picks are the most valuable they're going to be, right? there's also an expiration date on them. I think that's the one thing that people don't always realize when they're like, well, I'm going to get fluid and I'm going to go get draft picks, right? Like that was the term you used it earlier too, right? That fluidity, right? And I think, you know, there's that timestamp though, where that fluidity becomes solid because now it's no longer pick 108. It's whoever you actually picked with that 108 pick, right? And so right now you can probably move off of some of these 23 picks and get, you know, get another player to help you out, maybe package it to get into something in 24 or 25, depending on how your league is set up. Those are the type of, you know, taking advantage of, especially if you have a person that traded all the way out of the draft, now they want to get back in it. They're starting to feel a little left out. Let me make a deal with you. If I have a couple extra picks, give me, you know, maybe I can get a player that's slightly above that pick because I'm playing off of the emotional, like, you know, feeling of being left out, right? That the FOMO feeling of not being in the draft. And so take advantage of those things when you can. And I think right now, you can, especially the draft is, you know, what, 13 days away, right? Depending on how crazy your dynasty leagues are, your draft may be in 14 days.
I'm in enough leagues that do it and I hate it. It's like as soon as the card is handed in for Mr. Irrelevant, they're like, let's start the draft. Let's fucking relax. Like,
in my longest running dynasty one, we do it usually like 2 weeks after the draft. And then like a lot of the other leagues, they're somewhere in between. A lot of times it's like, you know, mid-May, stuff like that. And I feel like it gives a little bit of time. It gives a little bit of time for things to shake out without it getting all the way up until, like, I'm in one dynasty league where it's a low stakes league. It's more like a bunch of my college buddies and stuff. It's more so just to, you know, be able to stay bullshitting and stuff like that. Like they treat it almost like a redraft draft where we're drafting in like mid August. But that takes a little bit of the fun out. You got to kind of get in the sweet spot in the summertime. It breaks up the year.
The dead zone. There's a dead zone like coming up in June where it's like, what kind of content am I going to do?
That's a good one. Like you put your draft in like May, June time. And like, you can spread it out a little bit.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to talk about when we talked about these 23 picks is, first of all, I just want to plus one the idea that like between now and some people say even like they're never as valuable as when it's on the clock.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah. I totally dig that. I have been trying to the last year or so, generally speaking, take late firsts and go to the next year's like random next year's first greater than sign late first in the current year pretty much all the time. And when I'm looking at this class for now, the way mocks are going, there's a bit of a flat territory, 110 ish maybe, and like 203 ish where I don't like the value there. You know, there's just players that I'm not as high on, or I can get similar players later. Now that might change a little bit if like a couple of these running backs that are clustered together in that mid to late second round, maybe get really good draft capital landing spot, they get jacked up a little bit. But in general, if I have like the 111, give me a 24 first for it. You know what I mean? Like, or maybe even a sprinkle on top because it's the now draft and you can use the pick now. Like, so I mean, that's kind of what I'm trying to do with those. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's, just that random future first. Like let's say you traded the 11, there's 10 out of 12 chances that you've gained value come next year because just how the chips fell that first. Now, unless the person wins the league or comes in second, that 11th pick, now you're sitting with something better then. Right. And you know, there's research that I've done also, like the and it's pretty straightforward, but I like quantified it, like early in the draft is where your biggest hits are, and like that's where you get your most value. So that 111, you're taking a much bigger gamble on than playing it forward into the next year, and maybe you can get one of the top four, top five picks, because those ones have just such a greater long-term value. Granted, hopefully you pick the right guy, but like just in terms of historical probabilities, you're much better off with those top five picks than later on. And like I said, it makes a lot of sense. Like I've quantified it and made it a nice little chart and stuff like that. But like, it's, there's nothing wrong with saying like, okay, I'm going to move out of this draft because I don't like who I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. Let me move back and get a pick next year.
Right. Yeah. So this is the graphic that Seth was talking about. Again, I don't. Oh, looks like EK Baller there. We can attribute it to.
There we go. To EK Baller. Yep.
Yeah. EK is a good guy. I guessed it on one of his Debbie Dose episodes a little while back, talking about the wide receivers. But that's kind of what we're talking about when we think about the cycle of when picks are most valuable, right? And so, when you're on the clock in the rookie draft there, if you see, like, I don't know, if you look at the circle as a clock and you talk about maybe, what is that, 8 o'clock or 7:30, right? Yeah. then right there, you're on the clock in mm-hmm. your rookie draft. That's when, that's when those picks are the most valuable. Yeah. My next sell is gonna be, let's see here. Let's talk about a wide receiver, George Pickens, because I think this is gonna give me an opportunity to talk about this giant tier or even two tiers of wide receivers where first of all, we have to understand, right, that like there is literally 743 wide receiver twos in Dynasty, sometimes it's a matter of pick your poison. Mm-hmm. And for me, there's a large group of guys who it's like, find the guy who likes your guy better and has the guy you like better and maybe get a plus on top, right? That they're interchangeable enough to maybe you can get one that you like better for a little bit of a plus. Pickens for me is towards the end of that group. I think he's a little harder to sell than some of the other guys, but the types of names I'm talking about for folks who are wondering would be like, Watson, Pittman, Burks, J-Mo, Hollywood, Debo, Deontay, Judy, Ayuk, Dotson, DJ Moore, McLaurin, Amari Cooper, Christian Kirk, Godwin, Bateman, Pickens, Calvin Ridley, right? Cortland Sutton, maybe. These are guys where it's like, if I can get the guy that I want and get a little plus for the guy that I have, I'm going to do it. And for me, Pickens kind of like epitomizes that for me. I think people are still kind of, I don't want to say drunk on it, but like there's still value there. Like I did a trade for Pickens that I thought was a total win, and someone gave me like a really good, response to. And then this other person was like, no, you got. So like that other person is the guy that likes Pickens. So there's enough people like that, where he still has value. I'm below market on him. He's wide receiver 33 for me without the rookies even coming in yet. And he's going 25, 26, 26, 28, 25, 28, 24 in the sources that I pulled. He's getting traded, for, Pickens for Khalil Shakir, 23 first and 23 second. Pickens for Purdy in a 24 first. Pickens for Jacoby Myers in a 24 second. Straight up for Ramondre. The trade that I did was Pickens for the 208 and a 24 second. So maybe I didn't get quite as much as a lot of other people are giving for him. Yeah. I think he's overrated. I think he doesn't get open enough. I think Deontay is going to get a bump in touchdown regression this year. Mm-hmm. I don't dislike Pickens as a player straight up. I just think he was a guy that I was trying to get out of that range where he was going because I didn't like him at cost in the rookie drafts. He didn't really do anything his rookie season to really make me think that he's, you know, taking that step. Honestly, I want Jahan Dotson before I want George Pickens personally, right? Yeah. And so he's a sell for me because I think he fits everything like that I was talking about at the top of the show. Like, I'm under market. There's a market for him, yep, right? And there's reason to think the situation might change enough next year. Pivot and sell. So what do you think about Pickens?
Yeah, what's funny is you mentioned Dotson in there too, and that's one of the names that, like, when you read off that long list, I was like, oh man, you could totally trade like Pickens for Dotson and a real nice plus. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you would be a nice move. But I think this is one of the spots where, depending on what you see happening in Pittsburgh next year, like, maybe Pickett takes a step forward. Maybe Pickens takes his step forward also. Like, there was enough hiccups through last year that, you know, you may be anticipating a move forward, right? And I think that's where people are – I think that's where part of that hype is coming from. Plus, he had a couple like of those highlight catches. Yeah. He had another like almost like OBJ one where he was like leaning backwards one handed, like beautiful catch. He also had ones where like he dropped in the end zone and it was like, that's a catch like high schoolers make. Like, it's not a difficult catch. What happened right there?
And a high percentage of his targets were contested, which means there's a lot of things that could mean, but at least part of that pie is you're not getting open.
Bingo. You know, you're not separating. And that's, you know, that's what separates great NFL wide receivers from, you know, the good ones. And, you know, every wide receiver that's playing in the NFL is good. Let's not go down that rabbit hole. But I agree. I think Pickens is a nice sell here. It's a little bit difficult for me because I'm not sure where I would buy him though. And I like with my sells, I like to have that idea of what the buy on the flip side of that is.
Yeah.
Looking at some of the trades there, like I love the Pickens and 103 for AJ Brown. Like,
yeah,
you know, like that's a real nice step up right there, right? So I like the sell aspect for Pickens here. I think it could definitely work out very much in your favor. But there's also that slight out there where it's like, but what if Pittsburgh does get a little bit better? What if Kenny Pickett does take that next step? Maybe they become dynamic enough that they're able to get, you know, both Johnson and Pickens rolling. And
yeah, you know, I don't rule that out because I actually, some people that say Kenny Pickett is awful at football or whatever. I'm just, it's a bit of an oversimplification. Yeah. Like, I don't doubt Pickett gets a little better. I don't doubt, but you know, the offense still, I mean, they didn't fire Matt Canada, right? Like he's still hanging around. And that's a problem. And, you know, I think Pickens also is competing with Freiermuth. So say Deontay Johnson doesn't get 140 targets again. Okay. He's also probably not going to get zero touchdowns again either. Yeah. Right. So there's that competing with Pickens. So I think, and let's also realize that, who's their third receiver? Calvin Austin?
Yeah.
You know, like it's not inconceivable that at some point in the draft, you know, they take somebody. So, you know, I don't know. But you're right. It's like, where would I buy him? Let's say I was sitting on I'm definitely not competing, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting on Cooper Kupp.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Would I tear down from Kupp to Pickens with a good plus on it? If the plus was good enough, I might, especially because I know that there's probably somebody I can sell Pickens to as well that likes him better than I do. I don't know. This is off the top of my head, might be a buy situation.
Yeah, I could see that. Like if you're, especially if you're like, you know, and this is again, from the very beginning of the show, one of the most important pieces, and I don't think people realize it enough, is being honest with yourself. I feel like that's like That's the missing link in a lot of dynasties. Everybody looks at their team and they're like, my team's competing. And like other people are like, no, it's not. You know, there's that honesty for yourself, right? If you're like, all right, this team's not competing right now, then yeah, I could see that. If you have like Cup and you're like, all right, I'm going to move on from Cup. I'm going to go give them to not the top team. I'm going to give them to the third place team. I'm going to give them to the fourth place team. Cause they're going to be looking for that. I need to get over the hump.
Yep.
And so I'm going to go to that team. And I'm going to say, give me Pickens, give me your first, give me, you know, I'm looking to try and like Cooper Kupp is all you need to get over that hump. I'm going full used car salesman, trying to push that narrative. And then hoping like NBA Rigged is saying here about being high on Pickens, like hoping that I buy Pickens and I get that turnout of, you know, him separating better, him, that offense rolling a little bit more. And then maybe I move Pickens in season, or maybe I could do a lot with that move. So I like that. I was off the cuff too. That was good.
I was thinking too, when you were saying like the third or fourth place team, like when I, on teams where I'm out of it, you know, and I go through the league standings and who to propose trades to move points off my roster. Yeah. That's who I go. I go for the third and fourth place teams first. Right. Or I go for, the person who, you know, you're in second, you're in third, but look at your points for and points against. You're a pretender, and so you know I go for that. All right, so who's your? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say or the team that's in seventh place and they're down to win.
Yeah.
And it's like, listen, man, I'll give you Cup. Give me your draft board for next year. Give me, you know, like it's right here. It is like this is what you need to get in, and chances are they're going to be those pretenders, but you know, like that's not your concern at that point. You're just going, here's this guy that's going to take you that next step. That next step might just be the first playoff game that they get bounced from, right? But you're going to get, you know, you should get a downgrade, a tier down, maybe two in terms of receiver, because Cup is just pretty much in a tier by himself. And then you should be getting picks on that as well, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's a real nice dynasty play.
All right. And who is your fifth and final sell for tonight? Another one that you said might piss some people off.
Oh, yeah. No, this one's and it's again, it's that hype train. That hype train is rolling and everybody's on board. And I'm just like, guys, I'm not getting on. I don't want to. And that's Jameson Williams. And I know a lot of people are going to be like, this guy just hates the 22 rookie class. I'm like, no, not true. Jameson Williams is a really, really tough, in a really, really tough position. And it's because of historical data. Now, could he change the historical data? Absolutely. But a lot of times we use historical data to give us that look at what the trend is going to be, right? So for Jameson Williams to be good next year, he would have to break the trend of out of 274 eligible receivers. Those eligible receivers are wide receivers since the 2000 draft that had missed half the season, eight or more games their rookie year. Out of those 274 wide receivers, only 26 of them had a 100-point PPR season in their second or third year. And of those...
100-point or 200-point?
100.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So, like, real low threshold. Because 100 points PPR season is, like, wide receiver 75.
Yeah.
There's only one wide receiver that had a 200-point season. And a 200-plus point means you're in the top 25. And that was Steve Smith. And not the Steve Smith you're thinking of. It's not Steve Smith Sr. It's Steve Smith from the Giants back in 2007. One. So out of 274 wide receivers drafted since 2000. He's the only one that is missed more than half the season, and that came in year three. His year two was 120 points. Mm-hmm. And I know what people are going to say, but you're looking at all the players drafted. Jameson Williams is a first-round talent. You are absolutely correct, sir. So what I did is I pulled all the first-round wide receivers that fell in that similar situation, and all of those first-round wide receivers, two of them passed 100 points. It was Josh Doctson, which that was a painful draft pick for me. It really hurts because he was supposed to be so good. Yeah. He had 119 points in his second year and 109 in his third year. The other one was Breshad Perriman, had 101. All the other first-round wide receivers since 2000 that missed more than half the season, Charles Rogers, Robert Meacham, A.J. Jenkins, Breshad Perriman, Kevin White, which that one I'm sure hurts a lot of people, Jahan Dotson, John Ross, Enkel Harry, and now Jameson Williams. All of them had been the highest they've gotten in 3 years is 183 points, and that was Robert Meacham. So if there's people out there that are thinking Jameson Williams is going to be a top 25 wide receiver next year, that has historically never happened for a wide receiver to miss more than half the season and be a top 25. For him to be a top, there's been one that was a top 50 wide receiver, and that was D.D. Westbrook, and he was right on the threshold with 179 PPR points. So he was like in that 50-40-ish range.
So just to that, first of all, that's pretty mind-blowing. So just to clarify for folks watching and listening, how many first rounders, wide receivers, since 2000 missed 8 games or more? Like that second set, what's the N on that second?
He's the ninth one. So we don't have the final data for him, but he's the ninth one. So there's eight first round wide receivers that have missed half the season. So not a huge sampling, right? But you're already at a small sample size to say just first round wide receivers, right?
Sure.
And that's, you're going to get small. That's where it's like, could Jameson Williams buck the trend? Yes. Yes, he could. But that's, and I got a lot of pushback from this at one point as well. That's like betting on an undrafted free agent running back. Undrafted free agent running backs have a 2% hit rate. If you're looking at like long-term valuation, the outliers are Austin Eckler, Priest Holmes, and Arian Foster. And was there one more in there? There may have been one more in there. But like that, they have such an abysmal hit rate. And so like when James Robinson had that 1 year, everyone was like, oh, he's going to be amazing. And it's like, you're probably best off selling him after that 1 year.
Mm-hmm. So Jameson Williams is a receiver who, as I was telling you in our DMs before the show, I like him. I like him a lot. Like, I'm a JMO guy. Like, but I am relatively still at market with him. Like, he was in that tier of guys who I said, you know, pick your poison. Mm-hmm. I have him at wide receiver 20 before the rookies come in. I guess the case that I would make is going into the 2022 draft, he was among four wide receivers who I said, they could all be wide receiver one, right? Mm-hmm. And then Wilson, Olave, J-Mo, and Drake London. And among them, my take on J-Mo was probably highest ceiling, most dynamic, and the injury might be weighing him, mm-hmm. might be weighing him down. He didn't really have it. He essentially redshirted his rookie year.
Yeah.
Right. And they got rid of Chark, who you know, is the deep guy, which leaves room for J-Mo to now have a role on the offense.
Yeah.
Is he behind Amon-Ra for targets? probably, but he's a different kind of target. And he's such a special, like, I think special athlete and dynamic high ceiling player. Like, he's the type of guy I would bet on breaking those, that statistical trend. So I'm the guy you're going to sell him to is essentially what I'm saying.
There you go. Yeah.
So what he's going here, around the 106, 107, 108. We're seeing J-Mo for the 110 and the 211. J-Mo straight up for 24 first. J-Mo for our friend Alec Pierce and the 201. J-Mo and a 24 first for Devontae Smith. I think that's overpaying, even though I like Devontae Smith. So what do you think? What are you taking for what are you looking for when you're selling J-Mo?
I mean, if I'm moving J-Mo, I'm either looking for like one of those early firsts, mid early firsts, or looking for like, I would like to package J-Mo and really up tier, right? Like, okay. That's what I would like to do with them. Again, assuming I'm in a competing team, something like that, like that's what I want to do. I want to upgrade. And the fact that like he's being ranked so highly, and again, because he did put on a show through college, and he had a couple of plays where, you know, he looked explosive. You know, there is room there, right? And I'm never one of those people that's like, I know the future, this guy's a bum, he's never gonna play. It's always in terms of probabilities, and you know, just thinking of range of outcomes, right? And so when you look at first round wide receivers overall have a really good output in their first 3 years, right? Their median points, combined points, total points over the first 3 years is 390, right? Better than tight ends, a little bit lower than running backs and quarterbacks. But again, makes perfect sense. First round, second round, third round, fourth round goes down the list. There is, though, between the zero percentile, which was a score of zero, and the 25th percentile, that's, to me, that's the floor of outcomes, right? The floor of outcomes is zero to 178 points. And that's over 3 years combined 178 total points. So if you simple math, right, divide that by three, it's not a very good yearly output, right? Especially when you consider that 170 is right around that wide receiver 40-ish mark when you look over, you know, when you average out a bunch of years. So you're basically saying that his floor of outcomes, and historically, right, the unlikelihood of him bucking that trend, right, to me, that's enough to say I want to move him, especially because everybody's going to be on him, right? Yeah. Now, could he buck that trend? Maybe. Could he end up in, you know, that 50 to 75%? Could he end up, you know, the highest was 973 points over 3 years. That's a hell of a first 3 years, right? Like you're averaging 300 points a year there, right? There is that possibility. My thing though is I gamble with the odds. Now,
sure. Yeah.
The odds, great upside.
Yeah.
If J-Mo hits, if J-Mo's already on your roster, and you're like, I'm dead set on believing that he's going to hit, then let him sit on your roster, because if he does hit, it's going to be huge for you. However, if you need to plug holes, or if you're looking to upgrade, he's the type of guy that I'm going to try and make that upgrade with.
Right. So as much as I'm a J-Mo guy, I made a trade where a while back. I sold J-Mo straight up in a best ball, a dynasty best ball. And I think that kind of inflated his value a little bit because he can have those spike weeks, I think, you know. straight up for Saquon, and I'm competing. So I think to me that turned out well. Yeah.
So I mean, you got to worry about the Saquon potential holdout now because he didn't sign his franchise. That was before that.
Yeah.
That's like assuming Saquon doesn't sit out. I don't think that'll happen, but who knows? Yeah. In my opinion, you won that deal.
So I'm gonna do my last one, Isaiah Pacheco. So let me give you my Pacheco saga. I'm a Rutgers alum, and we just have terrible football. And and I see this guy Pacheco, people talking about him, like Rutgers, what, you know? And then then he goes out and does well at the combine. He's got that size speed combo. And on my other podcast, I had a couple guests on and we were talking about it. And I kind of said, I don't think anybody cares if Isaiah Pacheco runs whatever. And so it was Alfred. What's his last name now?
Alfred Morris?
No, he's from Campus of Cannes. Alfred from Campus of Cannes. Said, I don't know. You know, I kind of like Pacheco. So I was like, all right. So I was like, you know what? You know, I trust him. I'll take a second look, you know. So I grabbed some Pacheco shares, right? Mm-hmm. Especially when he was drafted seventh round, because who the hell wants him, right? So at that time, I was a Pacheco person relative to, you know, cost, right? Like he's going to outplay his cost, right? Now for me, he's a sell, right? He's gotten a bump from doing well. He looked good in the Super Bowl, right? This is Kansas City. And as much as we love Kansas City as a landing spot for offensive pieces, we also have to realize that they use a million offensive pieces. Yeah. You know,
they use all the pieces.
Right. like Kelsey will eat, but then everybody else, you can't guarantee much. Yeah. Right. And so McKinnon's not coming back. CEH has clearly fallen out of favor. You've got Pacheco for Thunder. If this team drafts A-Chain, Gibbs at the back of the second, at the back of the first, right? Whatever, right? Like they're going to probably add to the backfield, even if it's not that high capital.
Yeah.
I think Pacheco's going to get some company. I think he's been a screaming sell to me for a while.
Yep.
And so he fits for me all the boxes. I'm under market on him. I've got him at RB 39 before I even add the rookies. And he's 25, 29, 29, 30, 36. Right. I think there's a market for him. Based on, you know, the buzz of having a good rookie year, the feel good story, the Super Bowl win. There are people who I just somebody on Twitter today said, why do people think Pacheco's worthless? And I said, I don't think Pacheco's worth. But anyway, like there's a fan there, right? That guy is probably the guy I could sell Pacheco to. So he's a sell for me. We see I moved him and Kenneth Walker for T. Higgins and a 24 first. Now that to me personally, that's the type of deal that I like to make, right? I get a wide receiver that I value highly. I get a future pick that's fluid and has buying power. And I move two who I think are overrated running backs in Pacheco and Kenneth Walker. But even if you don't like that deal in the trade finder, if you add the 111, you can get Goff, which in a super flex, hell yes. Right, you can get him straight up 24 first. You can get him 203. You can add the 110 and get Garrett Wilson. Like people like Pacheco.
That's the one I was just looking at because I was like I said Garrett Wilson was a sell. Like again, a more contrarian sell here. But if I'm getting Garrett Wilson for 110 and Pacheco, I'm pulling the trigger each time because that's screaming value right there. Right. And again, that's one of the things where it's like. Certain times, certain movements, little nuances, there's wiggle room of whether or not a person of fantasy asset, right, is a buy or a sell. And I think that's where like Pacheco loved the story, loved the situation. But again, I completely agree with you. I think he's a sell. I think what's difficult though is finding that person and hoping that they're in your league, that person that is like, yeah, I love Pacheco. Yeah, like I love the story. I'm not going to spend like some of these things that Pacheco for the 203, like I'm not giving it.
I mean, that 203 it could be like, Tank Bigsby, Tyjae Spears. It could be, if you're a fan of Jalin Hyatt, if you're a fan of Josh Downs, if you're a fan of A-Chain, right? Yeah. Like, you know, that very well could be those guys, right? So
yeah, absolutely. Like, I would much rather have that 203 than Pacheco. And again, I think it's because, like you said, that Kansas City offense, they score a lot. They move the ball a lot. But each person on that team is getting work. And so what does that piece of the pie continue looking like for them? And, you know, there was a lot on Twitter. I was involved in a conversation today about Jahmyr Gibbs and the what if Jahmyr Gibbs goes to Kansas City. And it's like, that'd be awesome. But it's like that would crush Pacheco's value.
It would, for sure. I'm just trying to pull this up to see if I can do it quickly here. At the no, that's not it. I clicked the wrong link. I was going to try to pull up his points per game for 2022, because I think it's lower than what people have in their head, right? Like, you know, if he doesn't hit the end zone and he has one of those, you know, 14 carries for 64 yards night, he did well for what the KC offense needed him to do, which the offense has the number one pass rate over expected last year. Like, but he's not necessarily scoring you points. Just want to say hi to Gator, who rarely gets to check in with us on Saturday nights. Hello, Gator. And also just want to acknowledge that Jamie is a thief. And he's just scooping up in that league. Every trade he puts in the Discord, it's like, you got to be kidding me. Who is giving you these trades?
Stop doing that. I love it, but stop it. It's too much.
All right. So I'm sorry. Did you find the?
That's actually what I was looking for. Because I also push median points per game as another data point. Which is a whole nother conversation. We're already almost at an hour and a half. I'll come back. We'll do this again. I'll come back and talk about median points per game.
Sure. Yeah.
But I'm looking for it right now also, because I could definitely see him being one of those players where his average is much more inflated than his median points per game. And so what that means is that there's some outlier games that are propping up his average. And so that's essentially the reason why the reason why most people hate like yards per carry as an average is because it's so outweighed by big runs, right? Like you have a relatively average day running, but you make one big run and now all of a sudden it looks like you have this great yards per carry. The same thing happens with fantasy scoring. Fantasy scoring is not a normal curve. And so because it's not a normal curve, the median will always be a better measure of quote normal than mean, because mean will always be more impacted by your outliers. So let's
absolutely see. Yeah. That's a good point. You know, using medians, am I right here? 7.9 PPR points a game. That's what's coming up on Fantasy Pros, and that's weeks 1 through 18. I don't know if they sat him week 18. So let's do weeks 1 through 14, the fantasy regular season, right? Would he have gotten you to the playoff? 7 points per game. I mean,
that's.
And you can get the 203 for him.
Yeah.
You know, all right. Well, that just about does it for us. Please make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. If you're listening to the Going for Two Live podcast feed, please make sure if you're watching on YouTube to subscribe to the channel, maybe even turn on notifications, like the video, comment. It helps the old algorithm.
Seth, all about the algorithms.
can't thank you enough for coming on and spending like 90-ish minutes with us talking about Dynasty sales on a Saturday night. So please take the time before we close to plug.
Yeah, definitely. Go find me on Twitter at FF the At Home Dad. It's where I do most of my stuff. Working with FF Faceoff this year. I'm going to have a new pod, brand new pod coming out. Talking more Dynasty as well with FF Faceoff. Really excited about it, getting the ball rolling, kind of plugging it now before we get everything up and running for it, but really excited for it. Yeah, I mean, come find me. Send me a message. I'm all about helping people out and just, you know, my like happy place is just like responding to the, what do you think of this trade? What do you think of this? And it's like, all right, well, here's how I break it down. Here's how I'm looking at it. That's what I enjoy doing. So feel free to hit me up with any of that stuff. So
yeah, can't wait for it. I remember when I was watching Anthony Servino, do the, he was doing like a wide receiver buys or wide receiver sells video. Yeah. And he shouted you out as like the face off, like, you know, Dynasty guru. And I was like, oh, okay. That guy's in that, that guy's in that content creator chat that I'm in. Okay. I know that guy. Yeah. Julia, thanks as always. Good to see you. She's here in the chat. Stellar show. Thank you, Seth, for your insights. Thanks for checking in, Julia, as always. You can find me on Twitter at FFJunkie_. Goingfor2.com with my articles and rankings. Going to have a couple articles coming out soon. One before the draft of like guys like I'm okay being wrong about, I'm worried I'm wrong about, that sort of thing. And then I'm going to do like a whole big Dynasty RB thing after the draft. You can find me on Dynasty Fever, which is an audio only podcast that drops Thursdays, at Dynasty Fever Pod on Twitter. If you go to goingfor2.com, you can go to the little bottom right little purple Discord thingy and click and get in our free Discord, hella channels, and lots of things, lots of great conversations going on. We always evaluate Jamie's trades and facepalm at the people who are just giving away their Dynasty assets to Jamie. We fight about running backs over 25, all sorts of good stuff. And also, we do a lot of Scott Fish mocks. So we had like a gazillion mocks going last year and a channel for each draft spot. So, you know, if you, that's another reason to join as well. Going for Two has a podcast pretty much every night of the week here on the YouTube channel. So if you turn on those notifications, you'll know when we're coming. We've got Kyle's got a show or two. Gator's got the Thursday Gambit, Dynasty Gambit. We've got, you know, Gladys with No Particular Order. We've got, B-League says he's got his thing going on. So we really pretty much every 7 nights a week we have a podcast for you. So please make sure you tune in. And so for now, that's a wrap, folks. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. And in Josh's absence, go Irish.